Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John. And today, I'm really pleased to have as a guest, Brandi Hooker Evans. She's a registered dental hygienist, and she resides in Idaho. I met Brandi a little over 2 weeks ago down in Phoenix, Arizona. We were at a conference together called Expansion. It was just a really awesome time to be together, Brandi. There were 30, 35 people there. And when I signed up for this conference with Vanessa Emerson, I had no idea really what it was about, but I figured it was about personal growth. And, you know, I believe that there is a seed of greatness with inside of everybody. Everybody. We just need to look for it. And once we somewhat locate it and have an idea about it, start to just hit it with the best personal fertilizer we've got and just let that rascal grow. So that was an opportunity that I saw that I'm going to go down there and see what this is about. So anyhow, Brandi, welcome to this episode. I am thrilled to death to have you here. The minute I saw you and met you down there, as I shared a few minutes ago, you constantly had this smile on your face, the one that you're wearing right now. And I loved it. It just projects and projected down there such good, positive energy. It said, welcome. I'm glad to meet you, and I'm glad to know you. Tell me a little bit about you. And so I thought, I have to have you on board. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me this morning, Dr. John. Two weekends ago was a really powerful experience, and I'm so glad that we got to share that and share a little bit with your team, your audience today, that we really can grow that seed of greatness that is inside of us. But it does need a little sunshine, which there's the smile coming through. And, it needs some water and some time. So I'm thrilled that I get to share hopefully a little bit of that fertilizer with your team.
Yeah. A good component of Miracle-Gro. We'll concoct our own formula of Miracle-Gro here today, Brandi, and we'll sprinkle it out there through the vibes of this podcast. And, you know, I shared with you a minute ago, the objective of my podcast is to help people. Majority of the audience are dentists, but we also have some outside business people. I always felt like a great way for me to grow my practice of my business aspect of my practice was to go outside and learn from general businesses in particular, and then bring components and things back inside. And I developed a lifestyle dental practice, and I absolutely loved it. And it was niching up. And I just loved the process of niching, but I loved the landing pad also. When I had the practice, it was so fulfilling and so fun. And so I know there's a lot of people out there that are looking at and asking the question, can I niche up? And if I can, how do I do it? And what do I need to do with myself? Brandi, if someone were to ask you, how can I niche up? What would be the starting place? From your perspective of your stellar outcome, and I really love the title of your business, Stellar Outcome.
Well, for me, I believe as dentists and dental hygienists, the co-diagnosing care providers in the dental practice, if we really want to niche up our practice, it starts with giving the patients the tools that they need to decide for themselves. I believe that if we can provide such exquisite education and guidance through the assessment piece of the dental appointment, so that when we get done with assessment, our patients know, like, I have gum disease or I have caries, either way, dental disease of some kind, then we're no longer selling treatment plans. We're no longer getting the glazed over patient. Look, we are getting eye contact with human beings that are aware and ready to do something about the care that they need, the disease that they have in their mouths and really their entire body. And so with that changes every aspect of your life as a dentist or a dental professional. I mean, I'm a hygienist, so I cannot speak personally from the dentist, but I've worked with enough dentists. I feel like I can vouch with them. When you gift your patient the autonomy to make their own decisions, then you get to sit back and let them join you for the care that they need. And it is so rewarding. You talked about your practice being so rewarding and so fulfilling. That's what I am going for in my personal practice as a clinician and what I help other professionals achieve.
If someone were to contact you, Brandy, about Stellar Outcome, and let's say it was a dentist. Let's do two hypotheticals here. Let's go with the dentist makes connection with you and says, I want to change my practice, but I really just kind of don't know what I'm really wanting. What would you do with that, doctor? Because I think that there's a lot of people out there like this, Brandy. Yeah. So share with them, what would be the first onboarding? What would you do with that?
Well, if they weren't sure what they wanted for their practice, I feel like it would be imperative that we have a conversation about what their values as a human being are, what their values are as a professional, and what is currently happening in their practice that makes them feel like there is something more out there for them. I have a program that I love and believe in, but what I've found is if I just say, here's what I have, then I really don't ever get the opportunity to solve what might be the problem or elevate for them where they're wanting to go. So step one is to really explore with them where they're at, where they've been, and probably most importantly, what they're hoping to achieve starting today. If today is the first day of the rest of my life, like what is it that they need to be fulfilled? And what I found is when you have that conversation, there's a lot of self-revelation that happens for that dentist. And honestly, I am contacted most frequently by dentists that are interested in turning their hygiene program over to me for some help. And they're always so surprised that I'm like, oh yeah, but you and the front office and the assistants are part of what we're going to do. And what I've found to be true is the dentists that are seeking more want to have great days at work. They want to feel like they're taking exquisite care of their patients, and they want to enjoy the team that they're working with. And so once we get it boiled down to really, what are we doing? Why are we here? Then we can implement some tools to make all those statements become true. But without that, I'm useless. I think we all are. I think that without any core belief, without any core commitment to why you're here on this planet doing this thing as a dentist, it's just meandering, which is fine. Humans get lost and meander. It's a season that I believe that we all go through at various points in our lives. But if we can, Dr. John, say why on earth am I here? What am I doing? Then we can start to take that seed of greatness and get it to break through the surface and then grow big and tall and blossom beautifully.
Yeah.
But whatever we do, it has to have meaning and purpose.
I like that. Do you find, I'm making notes here, Brandy, do you find that when the dentists make connection with you and you do an assessment, do you find most of the dentists, I think the majority of our growth occurs on the other side of being vulnerable and allowing ourselves to be susceptible and open to a process where we are not in control and to where they kind of, I don't want to say submission in a passive way, but they submit the process to you to lead them. Do you find resistance in that process?
Honestly, no, not often, because by the time we have a conversation that we talked about before, people know that I'm not there to just make them a bunch of money and leave. And the people that are in that space aren't attracted to me anyway, right? So I feel like I make it very clear that what we're going to do is help our patients finally get healthy. What we're going to do is get this team functioning, speaking, operating on the same wavelength, supporting one another so that on Sunday night, you don't have the Monday morning jitter worries. You're just like, you know what? I'm so excited to go see my team tomorrow. And the side benefit of that is a tremendous amount of disease that's currently being swept under the rug in our nation is unearthed. And it all of a sudden becomes incredibly obvious that our patients that we love so much, that we're trying so hard to take care of, that are getting more disease under our watch, even attending their regular dental appointments. Once that starts to become evident, and then we're equipped with the tools to get our patients now on that same team with us, right? Because they've diagnosed their own dental disease. And the side benefit to all of that is the practice just flourishes. Production goes through the roof. We need another hygienist. We need another associate. You know, there's just so much care that our patients need that you start to watch every aspect, the patient, the provider, and the practice get healthier, be in that flourishing state and really fulfilled. One of the issues that we come up with as clinical dental providers is we're trying to take care of our patients and there's not enough time to do it. Well, when we unearth the disease and call a spade, now it seems not only important, but required to schedule the patient for the amount of time that we need to help them with this disease that they have recognized and now want to know, like, what are my options? And, you know, option one is do nothing. And then we've got good, better, and best in most situations, both restorative and from the preventive side of the clinic with dentistry. And so now we look at this bigger picture where we're not selling treatment plans. We're not doing bloody profies through lunch. We're not frustrated because the doctor diagnosed perio the minute they sat down in the room, but the hygienist didn't say anything. We're not having contention. We're not skipping opportunities to dine with one another. It's all of those things that make you think, like, what else is out there are now coming to fruition in your practice very, very organically. And typically, hygienists and doctors love to be in charge. I mean, we just are often type A control people. And it feels a little counterintuitive to give so much power away. But then when you start recognizing that you, by equipping your team and your patients with the tools that they need to be profoundly successful, you recognize the fact that you just facilitated that. So all of the micromanaging that you used to want to do to get that type A control part of you feeling good now feels better than it ever has. And you backed off. It's magic. I think it's fantastic. I love to watch the transformation in dentists that they're like, I don't know what else to do. And then they get the support to facilitate such a amazing experience for themselves, for their teams, and for their patients that it's unbelievable. Well, believable. I've seen it.
It is. I like that you use the word magical, because I use that word multiple times myself. And it's like on the other side of that vulnerability lies magical moments, magical times, a magical practice, magical patient relationships. And I found in my practice, Brandy, that just what you talked about. I wanted a better practice. I wanted a phenomenal staff. But then the tendency, as you said, is for doctors to micromanage. And I found that the more that I did that, I was restricting all of the things I really wanted from them. I wanted creativity. I wanted imagination. I wanted self-guidance. I wanted growth. I wanted enthusiasm. I wanted energy. Well, when you micromanage, you take away the energy, the enthusiasm, the creativity, the all of the things that we're looking for. And that's hard on someone that wants to control things. But like you said, in realizing the exponential growth that occurs when you do turn loose, people take ownership.
Absolutely. And have you heard, I love the saying that great leaders do not create followers. Great leaders create great leaders.
Yes.
And that to me is so profound, because when you realize that what you were doing to get the result that you wanted, which micromanaging, controlling, is actually counterproductive, and you get vulnerable and you let go of some of that nervous energy that if I don't follow up with, if I don't pay attention to, if I don't have a metric to have them report back to me, if I don't do all those things, then I've actually created and facilitated a potential powerhouse. It unlocks, and not only your dreams, but the dreams of that staff member, that team member that you would like to have be self-guided and have creativity and provide the most unreasonably fantastic customer care that has ever happened in any dental office ever, anywhere. If they're worried about meeting this metric and doing this and not wanting to upset the doctor and have to do it this way, like, they cannot tap into their better self either. So really, as leaders, it is our job to back up and help these beautiful pieces that are inside each and every one of us come to fruition. And if the person is fearful, they won't be vulnerable and grow. It's a universal truth I've found.
I agree. Part of my thinking with my leadership, with my staff, was that my responsibility to them was to help them become the absolute best that they could become, and to help them realize in their mind and in their imagination, but also physically, realize their greatness. We talked about greatness a little earlier, and I felt like it was my obligation to help them become that, because that's what people want. People want to be recognized. People want to be appreciated. People want folks to connect with them and have meaning. And I loved it when I gave the authority away to the staff persons. And like you said, I saw them take off. It's like, wow, I knew there was something in there. That's exactly why I brought you on to our team, is exactly what I'm seeing right now.
Well, to whom much is given, much is expected. And when you have the forethought, the foresight, the burning desire to do something awesome with your life, for example, become a dentist and own a business. Let's just use our friends right here with us. That is, in my opinion, a very brilliant calling. That is a profoundly wonderful compliment from God, the universe, whatever you use for the powers that be. And so, you know, to use my vocabulary, when God calls you to something like that, that also comes with a huge responsibility to those people that you're then going to employ. And right. If you take that seriously, and like you said, I want to help them be the best that they can be, then there are so many incredible resources out there to help our team be the very best that they can be. And they come in the form of workshops like we went to this weekend. They come in the form of beautiful, brilliant books. You know, you've mentioned a few this morning, Unreasonable Hospitality and Being Unreasonable. There's all of these really wonderful resources that I believe we need to tap into and utilize, because the wheel's already been invented. And
yeah,
like that's the goal of, you know, books and coaches and retreats and all those things, is to help make that bridge from where you are to where you want to be a little shorter, a little easier to cross. And then with that, I do want to offer that wherever you're at in your practice right now, in your leadership skills, all of it is perfect. Like, you are enough, and the growth from the place of you are enough and there's abundance inside of you is going to be so rewarding and so fulfilling. Versus if you hear this conversation and you think, well, I'm not doing enough and I'm not taking my responsibilities seriously, and, you know, all of the, that place of scarcity is going to make the trajectory of what we're talking about be so different. So I would invite everyone to consider, like, looking in the mirror and saying, I'm enough. I've done the best I can do up till this point. What would be the most service to myself and my community next? What's next?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's important for us to sit back, Brandy, no matter what time of year or what situations we're in, is to always sit back and give yourself the opportunity to be thankful for what you have and where you are.
And how hard you've worked, even if you've made mistakes. I mean, I don't know if you have children or not, but if you are a parent out there listening to us, like, Lord knows we've all made our fair share of mistakes, but even those can be used for good purpose if we allow them to teach us and shape us and propel us into the next step.
Yep. All too often, we're so eager and driven to go to the next level that we do not pause and say thank you for where we are at. And what that does is, when we say thank you for where we're at, it puts ourselves in a mindset of gratitude. It takes us out of the scarcity mentality, and it puts us into the, it opens up our thinking processes. Brandy, I'm grateful for this day today. Let me take this day and run with it. Let me use and really discover what my greatness is today, and how can I make it even better? I love the challenge of thinking forward and visioning. That's something that I always enjoy doing in my practice. And in reading the, you know, I shared with you about the Unreasonable Hospitality, and when I'm reading books like that, I'm making notes in the side columns, and I'm highlighting this and highlighting that, and it becomes my personal document. And the thing that I, at the end of that book, I sat back in my chair and I thought, what a fun thing to do is to put yourself in a situation to distract yourself from the world around you for just a couple of hours and think extremely unreasonable about what if. What if I were to really commit myself to creating the most awesome customer, patient, connected relationship practice? What would that look like? And what would I do? What would my staff be doing? And just start filling it out. And then to take that to your staff and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? And listen to them. And then together, all of you start building and rethinking the process. And what if?
Absolutely. And your team has some really beautiful gifts that if they are given the opportunity to tap into, they're going to provide. As owners, we come from a very different place than the person that is employed in the practice. And so that also includes a lot less pressure in a couple of categories. So because they don't have a couple of those pressures that we experience in owning practices, they are able to expand and contribute in some of those areas that are less our strong suit, because we're looking at different aspects of the business and the experience. So I love going to the team and saying, what do you think and how should we? And I love to start by thanking them and saying, you know what? You guys are so fabulous. I love working with you. I love my days with you. I read this really great book and here are some of my thoughts. What do you think? And then they are able to finish that, the picture so much more complete and bright than we could alone. So,
yeah. You know, they do, the staff has a great insight into the patients, and they see us, the doctor, and are able to, if we make it to where they are safe to do so, to share with us how we create that environment the way in the practice that is safe for the patients to interact with us freely. They give us great insight as to how we, the doctors, are running and working the practice, what obstacles we're preventing. And that's the one thing about the expansion experience that we had a couple of weeks ago, Brandy, and was when I walked into the room and saw predominantly women. There were, out of the 35 or so, there were about 9 men, I believe. And, you know, when you go to dental conferences and there's an awful lot of men there, I mean, we're talking together different than what women are. And I saw all of you women standing together and talking with smiles on your faces like you've got right now, and sharing openly, laughing, embracing. And there was such warmth in the atmosphere. And it's kind of like, dudes, if we could learn one thing, is to learn how to communicate like women, we would go a lot further. And you smiled and you laughed and or chuckled just then. Share with me what you were thinking, Brandy, there when I said that.
I think that often, well, that's a good can of worms. Let's see if I can keep this concise. I think that the group that you witnessed was very, very special. And there is a coalition, excuse me, of women in dentistry that are making a point to stop the competition and run with collaboration. And in the past decades, you know, there's been tremendous advancements in the roles that women are able to take and contribute to, and that there are more women at conferences. And I think that the balance is beautiful, because what I would love to see is, as we're looking at this collaboration coming from the women's standpoint, is that we incorporate that not to just our sisterhood, but to our community with our other brothers and sisters, both in the same room. And so that coalition is really special that you witnessed. I mean, that is a group of women that have learned that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So we have been working very diligently on that throughout the year. And what I love so much about what Vanessa is doing is she is recognizing that not only do the women need to support each other instead of competing with each other and trying to get that one spot that's available, that also we need to add that with the men in our community. So that's what expansion to me was, a phenomenal stepping point in bringing men and women to the table for a bigger, brighter future, which includes some vulnerability and some personal growth. And also, it's an opportunity to let go of things that are holding us back. For example, imposter syndrome. That, whether you're a man or a woman, we learned that weekend that everybody struggles with, am I good enough? Am I available appropriately to be sitting at this table and having this conversation? And that movement is so, I mean, it is going to make our next chapter of not only dentistry, but humanity and business so much better. I am so honored to be at the forefront of that different type of operating with one another. Because, you know, Dr. John, you had a dental practice, and so you know that there are a limited amount of mouths and bodies that you can communicate with and treat well. It does not matter how fast you are. It does not matter how many hours you work. It does not matter how many associates you hire on. There is a finite amount of work that you can and really should want to do. And so a dentist in your town is not your competition. He or she is your brother or sister. And you guys together are trying to take care of your community with the best dental and overall healthcare that you can possibly provide. And with that mentality, the who's first on Google search engine and all of that stuff disappears. And then the conversation changes to, hey, you know what we love in our office? We have seen amazing results with restorative resin sealants. So for example, like a Fuji triage, you get those little babes that are not big enough to tolerate dental treatment, but we can get that fluoride releasing modified glass ionomer into those spots that are already starting to decay, which buys us just a little bit of time until they can get used to us and treat. Like those conversations start happening amongst the professionals, even on the same street. And that is how we take dentistry to the next level.
You said something there that you said a number of things that were very important. I loved it.
On a tangent.
I loved it. But one thing that I keyed in on is that you said, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go further, go together.
Yes. All of us, men and women, dentists, like dental hygiene coaches like me, speakers, like all of us together is how we're going to get far.
That was a really profound statement of people will slow down just a second and pay attention to it. One thing that I talk about, Brandy, is I use the phrase slow down to speed up. And that's where I took my practice when I went into the lifestyle dental practices is I slowed down to have a really awesome new patient, new guest experience. And I wanted them to come out of that experience thinking that they were the most important person on earth to me and to my staff. And in order to do that, we had to be 100% focused and attentive, aware, and present with that patient. And so I walked into that consultation room, calm, and I just sat there in a very relaxed way and said, I'd say, Brandy, tell me your story. And boop. And you could just see the patient immediately lit down. And so what I was doing is I was slowing down, we hadn't taken any x-rays. We hadn't done anything. We just started talking. And I wanted to slow down to understand their story, to make a degree of a connection, to develop trust and establish the basis for a good relationship. And in doing so, the patient would turn around and say yes. And all we had to do was figure out what they were saying yes to. And then we were able to do a lot of comprehensive restorative dentistry because together, see, there we were. At first, I slowed down so we could speed up in doing a lot of restorative dentistry. But the only way we could do it was if we were together. And so we connected and developed that relationship. And when you do that, everything becomes easier. And I had a blast doing that. And so that's why I really connected with that comment that you made there. If you want to go fast, go alone. But, you know, if you're going alone, Brandy, you may not get very far. You'll get there pretty fast, but you, wherever you're going, you won't get there you won't go very far.
It's less fulfilling. Humans.
Absolutely.
As best as I can see, we're meant for tribes to the point where as cave people, it meant death to get kicked out of the tribe, right? So you had to have the tribe to live for food and for shelter and for protection against the other people and animals and things like that. So whenever you understand that about where we're coming from as a being, as a human being, when you sit them down in the office and make them a part of your tribe and they can understand that you're going to help provide what they need to, you know, belong to this community, then now they are open to what it is that might be most effective for them. And really, humans are pretty smart. Most of them can look an x-ray and have given that this thick white line should go up, over, and down, what do you think about this gray triangle right here? People see that. They know that that is not in the correct field of what we said health was. And so then now they're looking at you as a human that's there to help take care of them. They're looking at their mouths and realizing that there is a gap in health, and who better to help them achieve what they're hoping for than the professional that has already showed them that they are part of their tribe, that they are there for yes. them as a human being. It just, it makes the whole picture come into technicolor.
It does. When people feel a sense of belonging,
right?
Everything becomes good. You use the word fulfillment, and I really like that. That's what propelled me into this style of practice was when I did a couple of cosmetic cases early on. Not only was it extremely fulfilling for the patient, but it was a very fulfilling for me emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I knew that this is where I needed to go with it. But, you know, it's surrounding yourself with great people that understand what you're trying to do and are willing to learn and go with you. And share with me a little bit more about your stellar outcome business, Brandy.
Oh, that has been such a fun and fulfilling career for me. I have been a dental hygienist since 2007 with my own license. And I actually opened Stellar Outcomes in September of 2014. So I am coming up on a decade of having this business. And it is the entity that I'm able to provide continuing education and coaching to dentists and their teams. So it's been so incredibly rewarding to take all of the experiences that I've had as a dental professional, and both failures and successes, and be able to share tools with my colleagues that support them and their dreams and their purpose on earth. Most of us dental professionals became dental professionals because we wanted to help people. And, you know, the mouth is a much more appealing place to work on than lots of other parts of the body. So, you know, there we've got that in common. And what I noticed was continuing education is often a little dry and a little boring. It's come a long way in the last 10 years. So one of my missions as a continuing education provider is to get the audience engaged, get them off their phone, have some fun, learn something that means something that they can use tomorrow in practice. I really feel like as a clinician and a human, our most valuable resource that we can never get back is our time. So just going to continuing education to go to continuing education without having some enjoyment and then some application to me was not what I wanted. So that's the role I fulfill in the continuing education department. And then as a coach, I found that people were getting disease under our watch, under my watch, and I was doing the best I could do. And so I felt like I was given some tools that were meant to be shared. So that has been, again, another rewarding experience to be like, hey, this works. This makes it easy on you. This makes your day more fun. This gets your team on the same page. Here you go. It's basically fishing poles. I take fishing poles to the offices and give everyone one, show them how to use it, and then I hop on out of there so that they can be in charge of their own success and transform their patient experience and their patient health, as well as their own and their practice while they're at it. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I have a couple of projects that have been really entertaining and great learning experiences. I have a study club online, the Stellar Infusions Study Club, and we meet 8 times a year on a Thursday night for 90 minutes of CE. You can sign in from your car. You can be there while you're cooking dinner, or you can sit at your computer and be full attention. It's just a wide range of topics and guests. That has been a super fun way to engage the community. But the project I think I am most excited about right is I wrote a book called Dentists, Hygienists, and Cows.
I saw that.
It's in the publishing process. It's at the art department, but it is supposed to be available this year, 2024, in quarter one. So I am really excited. My goal with that is to have someone be able to pick up the book, read it, and apply it the next day. It's essentially my philosophy on care. So anyway, that's Stellar Outcomes in a little nutshell.
Kudos to you on writing the book. Writing a book is not an easy thing. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of creativity, and putting things down, taking our thoughts from our mind and putting it on paper in a way as such that is interesting and people are able to absorb your message as you want it. That's not easy to do.
No, but it was really fun. And I've worked so hard to develop a different way of providing care, a different way of approaching our careers. I see so many dentists and dental hygienists clocking in and clocking out of their lives, waiting for their life to start, waiting for their patients to get the clue card, waiting. And I think that we really are called to enjoy today. And for that dream that we're dreaming of to come true. And I think that it doesn't come true at one moment, like when you graduate college, when you get your dental license, when you get married, when you have kids, when your kids graduate, like all those milestone markers are not what we're going for. And that does not provide a life of fulfillment and purpose.
Yeah.
So what I tried to do with the book is make it entertaining. So it's a fun read and a pretty succinct approach to individualized care. And so whether you're a dentist or a hygienist, the philosophy is the same. And this is how we give our patients the tools to decide for themselves what they need so that now everyone is on board and on the same page. And we let go of that office contention. We let go of the doctor to patient contention. We let go of the, there's more for us to do. Like all of those things just melt away. And so now instead of someday when I retire, my dreams will come true, it's I'm going to work tomorrow morning and I have got 6 people on my schedule or 40 people on my schedule, whatever it is, depending on your role in the office, that I get to go and support and take care of and to pour into. And so now your dreams are coming true, whether you're 25 or selling your practice at 55 or 65 or retiring after 40 years of dental hygiene. I mean, it's taking that milestone as the marker of success out and putting each of us fully into our lives, enjoying this beautiful calling that we've received to help people also enjoy their best self. Because we know that if you've got disease in your mouth, you have disease in your body.
Absolutely.
And who wants to live with disease? Life is better without disease. So we're called to help people do that. And this is the bridge to making it easier, because now you're not telling your patients what to do. They're asking you what to do. Look at that sweet baby.
She was jumping on my leg, so I just had to bring her up. We're talking about my little Maltese. I'm proud of you that you wrote the book, because sitting down and saying, I'm going to write this book and knowing what you want to put out there in the message. Again, not many people do that, Brandy, and I'm proud that you did that. I'm very anxious for your book to come out. I'm anxious to read it. So I will... You need to somehow or another announce it on LinkedIn or wherever other avenues that you announce. I'm anxious to read that. So,
well, I'll get you the manuscript. You can have some first eyes on it if you would like. And I would love, so you said there's a lot of people that don't do that, but I believe there's a lot of people, dentists in particular. I have several dentist friends that have a book to write, but they don't want to because it feels like work or it seems so hard. And so just a quick little tidbit, what I did was I took the pressure off of me of it being a should thing. And I looked at it as a hobby, and I only wrote when I was inspired to write. And when I had other things going on that I just couldn't get to it, I didn't beat myself up about. So I made it a hobby. And then that way, when it came time to publishing it, now there's not this like worry that I have to sell so many copies to make the money back. Like the money that I've spent on the book, the time I've spent on the book has been a hobby, like skiing or bike riding or running or whatever.
Right.
So anything that I've put into it has been a gift of love, period. So if you've thought, like, oh, I want to write a book, that would be my invitation to you, is to treat it like a hobby and as a opportunity to share with the world the strength and struggle that is your career or the vantage point that you're coming from.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. Look at it as a hobby or just a fun event. And take the stress and pressure off. I know that if I sat down and said, John, you're going to write a book, that would be and I would put pressure on myself to perform. And I think I would take a lot of the fun out of it looking at that perspective. But as a hobby, that makes a lot of sense. And I think there are a lot of books out there, as you said, that are not written that should be. I'll leave it at that because I've had people suggest that I write a book. So here I am.
It's your divine.
Talking to myself. So,
hey, Dr. John.
So there you are. I know. I sense your encouragement there. So there's a lot of things that we spoke about today, Brandy, that we could follow up on. And we need to do that in a number of months down the road. As we've shared here, now we have a little bit of a background of what we're looking at and looking for. And we can compile some more information and some more thoughts and share some more with the people. If you had a parting thought today, what would you share with the audience?
I would invite each and every one of us to take a deep breath and thank ourselves and the people around us for the good work that we've been able to do and have done for us. And just take 1 minute to be so proud of yourself and honored by the people around you to getting to where you're at today, this moment.
That's a great thought. Pause for a moment and celebrate the greatness with which you've created today, now, and in the past. Brandy, I appreciate you being on the podcast with me today. As I shared with you, I knew after just a few minutes of meeting you down at Expansion that I had to have you on the podcast for the audience. I know that they will enjoy this podcast. And if you would send me, Brandy, your contact information that you want me to put in the notes, I will put it at the footing of our episode notes today so that they can connect with you. I think we're going to be together again. Are you going to the Weevolution?
I am actually presenting for the Iowa Dental Association that weekend. So if I can slip by for the end of it, I will. But I'll be at work in another state that weekend. So
well,
hopefully.
I will take a lot of good notes for you, Brandy, and we can have a discussion afterwards. So it was a pleasure meeting you. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast today. And I know that my audience will have gained some great information from our conversation. So
thank you so much for honoring me with your time and trusting me with your audience. You guys, thank you for signing into Dr. John's podcast. I wish you very well.
Well, thank you, Brandy. And that's the episode today of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John, and Brandy Hooker Evans has been our guest.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.